to order. The next item on the agenda is recognition of the National Secondary Social, recognition of Colorado's outstanding educators. Are you going to introduce this, Mr. Commissioner?
I most certainly am, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Good.
We have some four items that are honoring us, great educators today, and it's really my privilege to do that along with staff. And thank you for all taking the time to come here. I appreciate that. The first one is a recognition of the National Secondary Social Studies Teacher of the Year, Stephanie Hartman. Our social studies expertise, bar none, is here, and we'll begin the award. Stephanie?
Thank you.
Yes.
Good morning, Madam Chair and board members. My name is Stephanie Hartman, and I'm the social studies content specialist here at CDE. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce you to the National Secondary Social Studies Teacher of the Year, Sarah Shackett. Each year, the National Council for the Social Studies recognizes three exceptional teachers, social studies teachers from across the United States, one at each level, elementary, middle, and high school. These teachers must demonstrate exceptional abilities in developing or using instructional materials creatively and effectively, foster a spirit of inquiry and the development of social studies skills, and promote the development of democratic beliefs and values necessary for civic participation. At this year's conference held in Boston, a Colorado teacher received this prestigious award. Sarah's been teaching for 15 years, the past 11 of which had been at Lakewood High School in the Jefferson County Public School District. She currently teaches Advanced Placement Economics and International Baccalaureate Prep Government. Sarah's commitment to social studies education is evidenced by her leadership roles, both in her department and within the school. Outside of school, she's been unwavering in her promotion of social studies education. She has served on the board of directors for the Colorado Council for the Social Studies for the past 12 years. Most recently, she served as president of that organization. But her greatest commitment is to her students. Sarah inspires her students to become better people and more savvy learners. This is what one of her students had to say. Mrs. Shackett is a remarkable teacher and mentor. She inspires passion and achievement by bringing incredible energy and excitement to her classroom every day. Her creativity and charisma make all her lessons unforgettable. High expectations, coupled with her constant encouragement and support, result in only the best work from all of her students. To say that Mrs. Shackett is great is an understatement. So without further ado, it is my privilege and honor to introduce you to the National Secondary Social Studies Teacher of the Year, Sarah Shackett.
Mrs. Shackett, this is particularly exciting for me. If you are around, you'd know that social studies is my thing, so I'm particularly excited to represent the social studies teacher to welcome the Social Studies Teacher of the Year. Do you have a few words for us?
Oh, really? I just want to say thank you so much for taking your time. My career really has been incredible, but it's because I've won the education lottery. I've been able to teach in schools where the administration has been so supportive, where the students have been willing to work hard and play hard with me, and with colleagues who have been happy to collaborate. So really, I've been honored, and it's been a lot of fun to be the princess this year, but mostly it's because I've surrounded myself with really amazing people. So thank you so much for your time today and for what you do, too.
All right. And would you come forward and stand here, and your representative, Jane Goff, will present you, and the rest of us will come out of your way.
Okay. Where do we need to go?
Just stand against the wall.
Okay.
Against the wall.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
screen blinked.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda are the individual career and academic plan awards. Commissioner?
Thank you. Otherwise known as ICAPS, our awards. So I'm going to turn over to Rebecca Holmes and Mr. Ruthven.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. So we're here today to honor four teams who in their school or in their districts have ushered through their ICAP process. We are 5 years into the legislation that brought ICAPS into our state as a mandate for all 9th through 12th graders. And the four teams that we'll honor today have demonstrated exemplary plans for meaningful and relevant ICAP implementation. The Individual Career and Academic Plan, the ICAP, was enacted in 2009 with Senate Bill 256. And I'll read from that legislation a bit of the intent of this passage. The intent of this provision in this legislation is to ultimately decrease dropout rates, increase graduation rates, by assisting students in developing and maintaining personalized post-secondary career and education planning that ensures readiness for post-secondary and workforce success. An ICAP shall be designed to assist students in exploring the post-secondary career and educational opportunities available to students, aligning their coursework and curriculum, applying to post-secondary education institutions, securing financial aid, and ultimately entering the workforce. In Colorado and through several multi-state research studies, we have seen the evidence that when students complete meaningful ICAP processes, they are more motivated to attend school and stay engaged as learners. They become confident learners who understand a goal-setting process. They connect the relevance of their current education process to their future aspirations. They make post-secondary course plans and work-life plans that ensure career and life goals. They're able to articulate their transferable skills and understand how their actions today connect with their goals in the future. And the process itself establishes better communication and connection between school and home when this process is done well. Since 2009, a great number of other states have followed Colorado in implementing similar processes for their 9th through 12, and in many cases, their 6th through 12 students. In the time since 2009, the Office of Post-Secondary Readiness has heard repeatedly from districts and schools who want to see exemplars. And so this December, when our Office of Post-Secondary Readiness relaunched the ICAP process, we focused on showing schools of all sizes, of all types, and of all regions who really have put in place exemplary practices, and these four stood out amongst even those success stories. So with that, Misty Ruthven, the director of our Office of Post-Secondary Readiness, will share with you a small bit about each of these four honorees today.
Thank you, Rebecca. The 2014-15 ICAP Award recipients are Crestone Charter School, Falcon 49 Schools, Jefferson County Schools, and Mesa County District 51. I'd like to share a few excerpts from their applications. From Crestone Charter School: it gives students a chance to explore the world of work while in high school. These classes are taught by local community mentors and also called mentorships. Mentorships are student designed, and the student and mentor work together to create a plan that meets the student's learning objectives and career goals. From Falcon 49 Schools: beginning in 2013, district leaders initiated Pathways. At the heart of Pathways is our belief that every student should travel down an individualized path that leads through competency and skill development to success after high school. Students will graduate after designing their pathway, complete a series of courses, present capstone projects, earn industry certificates, and achieve assessment results that demonstrate mastery of knowledge and skills that they will need to be successful. From Jefferson County Public Schools: the ICAP process is meaningful for students because it is a guided, results-oriented way for students to engage in future planning on learning styles and interests they have starting middle school. It helps them make what they are doing now in school relevant to their future. It's awesome. Mesa County District 51: the team has worked for years with our district's curriculum planning committee, building teachers, administrators, and students to bring relevance and impact to our ICAP process. Our district's students have a clearer, more realistic outlook on their future plans. These future plans help them shape their current world, class planning, college searching, and career investigations. So thank you to all districts that we did receive applications from, and we'd love the representatives, starting with the Crestone Charter School, to come up and be honored. We do have an award and a certificate for them.
Thank you. Yes. Are we going to do this one at a time?
Oh, I guess we should do them all.
Well, I was thinking, should we probably do them all so we're not jumping up, so we can read them off, but this will be the first one. Everybody here? Val, look at me. Smile. Thank you. Okay, what are we doing now? Blue Ribbon Schools.
Welcome to the meeting one conference.
Oh, this is... Yeah.
You are joining your conference room. You are the host. Access is immediate. For a menu of available prompts, press the star key, 6, and the pound key.
Next item on the agenda is recognition of Colorado's outstanding educators. Today we will recognize the 2014 Blue Ribbon Schools. Commissioner?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Keith?
Sure. Madam Chair?
Yes.
So this morning we have the privilege of honoring our 2014 Colorado Blue Ribbon School Award winners. The Blue Ribbon School Program began in 1982 to honor and bring public attention to highly successful American schools. All nominees for the Blue Ribbon Award must either qualify, one, as an exemplary high-performing school, which means they're in the top 15% of schools in the state as measured by state tests in both reading and math, or two, as an exemplary achievement gap-closing school, which has at least 40% of their students from a disadvantaged background and has dramatically improved student performance at all subgroups to high levels in reading and math on state assessments. The Colorado Department of Education is able to nominate 5 schools that have at least 5 years of test data that shows that they are either high-performing or closing achievement gaps. Once CDE has identified the schools, a rigorous application process is completed and submitted to the U.S. Department of Education. The U.S. Department of
Biased. Cruz, I think, is an excellent school as well. And thank you so much for recognizing that, for recognizing all the hard work of our parents, our kids, and especially our teachers and our staff members. Thank you. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Did we lose her? Okay. Oh, okay. I'd seen her up there.
She can hear us? Okay, great.
Go ahead.
I can't hear you.
Okay. Hi, Lisa.
There she is.
Oh, there she is.
Okay, so our fourth...
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, great. So our fourth and final school is Elk Creek Elementary in Garfield School District 2. We have Lisa Pierce, the principal, joining us by teleconference. And so, Lisa, we've been congratulating everybody, and let's give Lisa and her school a big round of applause as well.
Well, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. Thank you so much for recognizing Elk Creek and all the other Blue Ribbon schools that are here today. I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about Elk Creek and why we became a Blue Ribbon school. We have a positive learning community that inspires students to become lifelong learners who reach their highest potential. We accomplish this mission through hard work of our students with great, strong partnerships with our families and the dedication of the most outstanding staff you could imagine. We have many traditions at Elk Creek that readily provide students and families with books to create a love of learning. Books are given to each family at the beginning of the school year at fall home visits, and approximately 1,000 books are awarded to students throughout each school year as positive incentives for weekly successes. Our teachers work collaboratively on a daily basis to get better at their practice. They take intense looks at data and put systems into place to address the needs of all the students, so we can continue to close the achievement gap and see growth in all kids. We contribute this success to the fact of our district mission, which is to encourage, nurture, and challenge every student every day. Because everyone embraces this high standard and supports each and every child, Elk Creek Elementary is an extraordinary place to learn, and I am so proud to be a member of this community. Thank you so much for recognizing us here today and through the Blue Ribbon ceremonies, and thanks for giving me this opportunity to share a little bit more about Elk Creek.
I was wondering, Dr. Owen, if you want to do the picture with her first, so and then we can reverse.
Lisa, if you can just hold on, we're going to do a picture with the board member and the commissioner next to the TV with you right there, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay. You're going to have to count because I don't see you next to the TV. So tell me when it's time to file.
Well, we're very happy to give you this certificate, and I'm sure the secretary will mail it to you. Good work there.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. So our final recognition today, we have the opportunity to really, it's a great privilege to introduce Kathleen Thirkel, the 2015 Colorado Teacher of the Year. Each year, the Colorado Teacher of the Year program honors an exceptionally dedicated, knowledgeable, and skilled teacher to represent the entire profession in Colorado. The role of the Colorado Teacher of the Year is to act as a liaison between the teaching community and the legislature, the Department of Education, districts and communities, also as an education ambassador to businesses, parents, service organizations, and media. A selection committee conducted a rigorous process to choose the Colorado Teacher of the Year. The committee consisted of representatives from the State Board of Education. I think Dr. Angelica Schroeder was on it this year. CASB, CEA, the Colorado Education Initiative, the Colorado PTA, the previous Teacher of the Year, as well as representatives from both CDE's Communications and Educator Effectiveness offices. The selection process included a written application, letters of recommendation, a personal interview, and a site visit. Kathleen Thirkel was named the 2015 Colorado Teacher of the Year at an assembly held at Mrs. Thirkel's school on October 13, 2014, that both Commissioner Hammond and I had the privilege to attend. It was a very exciting assembly, I can tell you. It was very packed, and the kids were super excited after the announcement was made. She is a high school mathematics teacher at Lewis Palmer High School in Lewis Palmer School District. She's exceptionally dedicated, knowledgeable, and skilled. She inspires students to learn, has the respect not only of students, but parents and colleagues as well. Our selection committee heard exceptional stories about how she had not only done a great job teaching, but had touched and changed lives of both students and staff. In accepting this award, Ms. Thirkel will get to spend part of 2015 making public appearances to support the teaching profession, will be the face of all dedicated teachers in Colorado. In April, she will be honored by President Obama in a ceremony at the White House. Throughout her year, she will receive a number of high-quality professional development opportunities. And one of the things I think that I've heard from some of the former teachers of the year is one of their favorites. She gets to attend NASA's space camp this summer.
Oh, wow.
And so with that, please join me in congratulating Kathleen Thirkel, the 2015 Colorado Teacher of the Year.
Well, thank you, Commissioner, Madam Chair, and members of the board for the privilege and opportunity to meet with you today. I am humbled and honored to be the voice of dedicated educators throughout the state of Colorado. I am a career teacher, having spent my entire tenure at Lewis Palmer High School, and I can think of no finer profession in which I can and will continue to make a difference in the lives of our young people as they journey towards their tomorrow. Teaching is an art and a science. I continue to seek out and develop new strategies and materials for my classes so that all of my students can share in the vision of success now and in their futures. I believe that students can and will rise to the level of the expectations set before them, and I hold high standards of excellence for myself and for my students. My students and I begin our journey each year at the threshold of my door with a handshake, a welcome greeting, and a sense of belonging to a family. I have created an interactive classroom which is student-focused and standards-driven. Students engage in their own learning through the diverse activities provided as they master each concept. I have created lesson plans that provide hands-on experience based on students' multiple intelligences and incorporate performance measured by assessment. My classroom is a true mathematical playground, and students quickly learn that they will work harder than they ever have, make greater gains than they ever have, and learn and appreciate a new way to communicate about the world around them through mathematics. Students who have crossed the threshold of my classroom in search of knowledge leave my classroom as informed thinkers, as stronger problem solvers, and as dedicated and determined lifelong learners, and as more confident and competent mathematicians. The core standards and College Board Advanced Placement course syllabi become the blueprints from which I craft the lessons in which my students are expected to gain mastery of the material. The mathematical concepts that need to be taught really haven't changed over the course of my career. However, my lessons don't look the same the way that they did 34 years ago, 5 years ago, or even 1 year ago. I am in the business of teaching kids and remain flexible to adapt to their changing needs, strengths, and weaknesses. I have successfully integrated technology in my classroom as a tool to enhance instruction and to encourage creative thinking. The graphing calculator has revolutionized the way my students explore mathematical concepts and take real ownership and pride in their discoveries. The increasing numbers of students that access my calculus and now my Calculus 3 and differential equations courses is evidence of this. I have learned that collaboration, cooperation, and communication are key elements to developing the pursuit of excellence in the classroom. I use a multi-representational approach in my teaching, so I ask my students to do it numerically, do it analytically, to do it graphically, to just do it. My approach to teaching volume and calculus illustrates this methodology. Volume is defined as the integral of cross-sectional area. So I bring in a drill to rotate curves about an axis so that students can understand the three-dimensional shape that's formed. Over the years, I have acquired a starboard, a projector, and a document camera that allow me to use an interactive calculus CD-ROM so that my students can actually see applications in these designs in manufacturing and engineering. And I use calculus in motion for exploration. My students have already gone to the computer lab and used Maple as a tool to create a Hershey's Kiss. They've eaten cake and determined a model to develop the volume of my bump pan. And as I speak, they should be using Play-Doh to create their three-dimensional objects with known cross-sections that they'll then compute the volume of. My classroom is an engaging classroom in which my students sing calculus songs, including songs from Calculus the Musical, which will be live at our school in April, to help them remember the differentiation and limit rules. My students use flashcards, mirrors, pattern blocks, geoboards, and card games to reinforce their concepts of the courses I teach. As I join my students in the discovery of the world around them, I am responsible to empower them with the tools that they need to meet and respond to the challenges of their future. My role as a math educator is to ensure that all of my students develop this mathematical power. It is a dynamic and ever-changing role, and therefore my teaching will always remain a work in progress. Even after 34 years in the classroom, I continue to believe that I have the best job in the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Temple. If you would stay up here for a minute.
Catherine, I wanted to make some comments because I was the fortunate board member to get to attend your class. I didn't get the songs down very well, but it was an extremely engaging class. As an older individual who took calculus with slide rule, et cetera, it was just so refreshing and so much fun, and I applaud you for the great work you do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We very much appreciate your work. And now if you'll join us up here, Mr. Durham and the Commissioner.
Excuse me, can we get, I'm sorry, keep them. Maybe we can get one with everybody. Teacher of the year. Can we all get in?
Thank you.
All of us?
Come on down.
I do. I look fun. I had a little announcement.
She goes to my church.
Oh, really? That's great.
We can
you have a tutor if you need a room.
You know, I give up on that.
No, I mean for your kids.
Oh, Mike, the youngest is 24.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
You're so young.
I am, yeah. I was 29 when I had her.
Oh, well. I always have a bad hair day.
I'll take it.
Robert has a bad hair day. All right, fellow board members. We have almost concluded our business for the day. When we finish, they want to take a new board, total board picture in front of the look. So don't jump up and go away.
My picture closed yesterday.
What? You're having a bad hair day?
I wore my picture clothes yesterday.
Me too.
I get dibs on the back row.
Other than that, if anybody does anybody else have anything they want to bring up before we adjourn for the day? Oh, Anita Stapleton. I'm sorry, Anita. Anita would like to make a take a couple of minutes and make a comment, right?
No.
No.
Didn't?
It's not on the agenda right now.
Carrie, where are you? Carrie just came and told me you had a couple of...
We're glad you're here,
well,
Anita.
I know it, but and Anita and I talked, but you don't, you're not ready to make a couple a statement. Carrie just came over and said you wanted to make a statement.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, we appreciate the fact that you're here, your dedication, and so forth. Okay. I don't, hearing no other... Do you have a comment, Ms.?
Well, there are more questions and comments. After first meeting, you learn a lot. And part of the problem is certainly, I hate to burden everybody with it, it's probably my own rather than collectively, but the agenda seems to me that it needs to be set a little further in advance than it is. And some of the items on it, to the extent there are materials, could perhaps be provided earlier, because some days I have time to work on this, sometimes I don't. And additionally, if we could have things further in advance, we have the opportunity to think about it, to make suggestions for additions, I think it would be helpful for everyone, and I'd like to see if there's a way to get that done, plus a way to expedite the collection of materials, either if you want them hard copy or email, however they show up. And because there were a lot of things I just wasn't as prepared as I needed to be for.
Thank you. Good point. I would remark, I think because of the holidays, we were about a week late this time, weren't we?
Wasn't.
Yeah. We were late. Yeah. Okay. It's usually a little further out there, but if it's not far enough this time, why, just let us know and we can do it earlier.
Okay, we'll take a look.
Thank Angelica?
So two items that I would be grateful for future business. One of them is something that you also mentioned, which is I would appreciate a greater understanding of the math content standards / instruction strategies, because I'm a little confused with the concerns of some parents who don't understand what their kids are learning in math. Is it the content standards? Is it the way that, is it the instructional strategies? Just exactly what is, first of all, what is it?
It's both.
Yeah. I've got a 7-year-old grandson, and I want to be able to understand what he's doing. I guess that's kind of the basic.
I did mention that. I
you
was the first one to mention it. But I look at it more as the difference between new math and the old math, because that's there's the idea out there that the quote new math is a common core standard. And it isn't. It's been, I mean, this war has been going on for 10 years about whether we have new math or an old math. It reminds me very much of the old phonics versus whole language argument that we had, you know, 15 years. I would really, and I don't want a big report or anything. I just like the math specialist to be here and us kind of have a discussion. Maybe she could explain some of those differences, and then we'd have plenty of chance to ask her questions. Because that's my big thing, not my particular big thing, but that's what I get more comments probably from people is why are you teaching that new math, and again referring to it sometimes as Common Core math, it's just new math.
May
and,
I make a comment?
I'm still on.
Yes, if
I hope.
Okay. Yes, please.
I met with a group of engineers while I was campaigning. And these engineers were young, had young families, and were dealing with trying to understand the math homework and helping them with the math homework. I think there's a problem there.
That's exactly the kind of question I'm
bringing up. When engineers, when children bring home homework to engineers who are their parents who don't understand the homework, and I think it may have to do with the training of teachers. And we're going into this new era, and I think we need to know how, what districts are doing in training teachers in this area, because I think they do need training. And it's not over after they leave the university, and especially with what is happening. And for a new program to take place, I think it's a rule of thumb is 5 years. And so that's going to be costly. And I don't know whether we've really thought about the cost involved in the training of those teachers, and not just in math, but in other areas as well, language arts, writing. And that, there are going to be costs involved in that. And, you know, we need to know whether districts are putting the monies in there, how much they're doing, how much money they're putting, and how much this is costing. Because it's costing money. And
okay.
We may not be appropriating the monies, or the legislature may not be appropriating the monies that are needed to really have this program, you know, on the go.
Mrs.
If I may continue, to add on in part to what Marcia said is that to the extent that we get some instruction from the math specialist, I would be grateful for examples. The second item that I would help me very much, and I don't know whether it should be an agenda item or whether there's just something to be written up, but I was a bit confused yesterday when we went through the charter school applications about multiple ways to evaluate, and that it was CDE's process evaluation tool that was being used by one group and somebody else's by another.
To evaluate teachers?
To evaluate charter applications.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry. I didn't say the whole
That's
sentence.
Okay.
I didn't say the whole sentence. The whole charter application evaluation process, there seemed to have been a disconnect between the charter school applying and the both school districts in their evaluation models. And I think I recall that even when I was, maybe when I left my board, that in our district, the DAC, et cetera, were given a tool to help evaluate. And I think if there's a lot of confusion about that, we might want to put something out that's recommended, or maybe we have.
The commissioner's got a...
Oh, good. Thank
pointer.
You.
We do.
No. Oh, I thought you whispered it to me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's really a district choice. Okay, but I think we provided a template in the past, but let me check and we'll write you back.
They do.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Yeah, yes, Deb?
You were first.
Jane, whatever.
Really?
Make your choice.
We're down here on this.
Go ahead, Jane.
I would follow up on, I would emphasize that request, embellish a little bit. Recently I've had some, a lot of questions around the potential of proposing innovation schools in districts. within the district process.
Innovation in what?
Innovation schools.
Oh, okay.
Or zones or however.
Which are different.
However they decide to go. And it relates to, kind of related to the application process, but I got wind of, there were statements made by someone who is thinking about and probably going to propose and bring an innovation school app to Jefferson County. This is where I first heard about it. And there was reference made in the description to CDE as having seen or reviewed or had a chance to kind of put a first blush review of the application and check on it, and it was reported that the department's impression or rating, so to speak, was relayed publicly, and I got confused. I thought, where does that fit in with what we know the Innovation Act to outline as part of that process? I was confused about what our role is in that, what the department's role in that, because my understanding has always been it goes charter or innovation applications go first to the local board or within the local governance structure.
Commissioner?
I got confused on that.
What we try many times, and I think I'm very well about a particular one, oftentimes they'll reach out to us just making sure they got all the components right before just some technical advice can you, if they want to do it, they want to do it right, and so it doesn't keep it bounced back and forth. So we're often in a place of just giving us advice. It's totally up to them whether they take it or not.
Excuse me.
Deb?
May I ask a question relating to that? Doesn't the also the state provide monies for innovation schools?
No.
Not seed monies at all?
For charters, for capital construction.
Are you sure about that?
I think so.
Yes.
Because...
Madam Chair, I'll have to provide an answer back because you asked me a question I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
All right. Deb?
I just had a question for the Commissioner about the budget. I know just gone through the JBC, and then I think it's spring when we begin to look at the budget for the next year. But can you review the timeline for that? I think in the past we really just had two meetings to look at it. Like to kind of get on the front end of it for this next...
Are you talking about our budget or just our budget?
CDE's budget, their requests.
Good. Madam Chair.
Yes.
Good point. As you recall, last year we brought the request to you back in June, and you asked the question, and we said we'd bring it up even a month earlier.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Yeah.
When does it need to be approved? Is it August?
It goes through a whole process between...
And when is our last chance to touch it? Is it?
September.
September, so it's really the summer months.
So we'd have all summer.
Late spring.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yes,
ma'am? I have a question about the... the accountability framework time clock. When do we make decisions about that? Is that this July or?
Is Keith Bradley,
for those that are?
Sorry. Yeah, that's okay. Keith, Dr. Owen,
Paul.
Don't spill any water now.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
We are getting ready to schedule, after last meeting, visits from schools, districts that have schools that are entering year five, July 1st. So you'll be having an opportunity to have districts come talk to you in March, April, and May. About 10 school districts will be sending invitations. So it's an invitation. We think most districts will take it, but I'm not sure that they all will. As far as action, if they don't pull out, that's based on this year's performance and looking at next year's framework. So the fall of 2015, winter, early January 2016, if they don't make progress out of that year five classification, that's when the state board will have to have some discussions about.
So around January, another year?
It right around that time frame.
Okay.
It could be a little later depending on testing and the calculations and the growth equivalents, all those types of pieces that go into the frameworks. But
it starts gelling really kind of in the fall, wouldn't you say, through January?
I'm sorry.
What you're working on really starts gelling around early fall, wouldn't you say, into January?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
It depends on whether the district accepts last year's rating as their official rating for 2015 or if they want to go through the request for consideration process. If they want to go through the process and bring more information, because this is a transition year, if they do that, that'll take longer. So it could spill into January. Part of it, Commissioner, depends on the volume of request for consideration that we get.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Val?
I'd like to have the report for the legislative liaison report that she presented.
You'd like to have it written?
Well, she wrote it, so I'd like to have a copy of it.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yeah. Those reports will be coming during the session, and since it just started, she hasn't compiled her first one.
Okay.
So as soon as those are compiled, you will get those on a weekly basis.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Steve?
A couple of things. One, the on the agenda, when it comes to consent items, if I understood, you know, when I walked in here Wednesday, that there was a C but written by the consent items. And I think that's the first time I've seen them. Maybe I should have seen them before that. But I think if the consent agenda, if there's going to be one, should be prepared in advance as a recommended consent agenda. Then we have the then we can put things on or off so that I don't come in and see items scattered throughout the agenda that are considered consent. I think that would be helpful.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
So it is separate. You do. There's a separate piece of paper someplace.
A one-week summary of all of the items that are on the agenda, and it's called the annotated agenda, and that's what it is. It shows the proposed consent items on and the proposed action items C's and B's, and those are still proposed. It's proposed
right.
Up until the point you all actually vote on them.
You can always request to have something pulled from the consent agenda if you want to discuss it.
Right. And then the second item is it's my understanding that a previous board voted to try and get Colorado out of Common Core. Is that a correct
understanding? Yes, we did. We did that in May. We voted 4-3 to withdraw from Common Core.
So one of the things
but they totally ignored us.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'd like to see, though, is from the commissioner as a series of recommendations and or actions and or strategies and or legislation that we could and should support that would end in that result, so that we have more than us trying to make it up on the fly. We have some expertise, and I think it's clear from this morning that there is significant concern about over-testing and I think it would be equally helpful to have a plan submitted by the commissioner to the board that would help mitigate the impact of testing and the complaints we're getting from local districts. So I'd like to see those two things worked on over the next month or two so that I mean, it may be something that if it requires legislation it should be so labeled, but it should be something we should that you know say if you want to get out of Common Core, in your opinion, here's how you do it. Here's the bill you passed. I think I'd like to have all of that, really, if possible, at least a summary by the next meeting.
I would say that, and I don't mean to jump ahead, but we would need to have an action item on that. Our commissioner is not hired to be a political expert. He's hired to run the department. That would be adding a burden on he keeps pretty busy here. So I think that if you choose to do that, then we need to have a board discussion, and it would be an action item on the board's part.
Chair. Steve, this has been looked at several times by council, okay? To get out of Common Core, to do that, does take legislative action, probably what you're asking, what kind of legislative action
correct.
Would it take? And that's something we can ask a board attorney to do.
Yeah, I'm not.
So it's not like we're ignoring it.
And Chairman,
we know the problem.
I'm not asking the commissioner to be political. I'm simply, there is a board decision to do certain things already, and I think we need a roadmap to implement that decision.
Well,
and I think the roadmap would be better coming from the experts than it is if we try and make it up as we go along, although that's the other option.
And as I said, it needs to be a board decision. And I don't think we want to take it up today.
No, I don't want to take it up today, okay. But I would like, then I will request that be on the next agenda.
There's no problem. I just think it needs to be a board decision. Yes,
Madam
ma'am.
Madam Chair, are you referring to that we voted on Common Core today?
No, we didn't.
We didn't. It was on yeah. testing. And I make a difference between yes. Common Core and testing.
Correct.
No, we're okay. Yeah, this was a we weren't referring to that. It was previously in May.
Okay.
No problem. Okay. Any other comments? All right. I believe we have lunch, and so we will. What is the word we use?
Recess.
Yes, I forget that word. We will recess until a month from now.